Hi, I'm Meredith.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to I'm Not Scared, You're Scared,
a horror movie podcast.
If you are a fan of the show, please like and follow us on iTunes and Spotify and review us. It'll help spread the word.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared, or email us at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared at gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. We're here to talk. Sorry, there was a little bit of delay, ladies and gentlemen.
It just sounded like you weren't entirely sure.
I was
sure.
Are
you joining
recording.
Us today?
Okay. We are talking about Host, released in 2020. Mm-hmm. I hope you liked it.
Hope you watched it. It was scary.
It's a good one. But before we go into my recap, I'm recapping this time.
Yeah, we got to know.
It's been a second.
Has it been a second?
Minute. Not really.
Almost a week.
Yeah, that's kind of a record.
Yeah, what's new with you, Meredith?
So I hosted our, it's like the 11th year I've hosted. Minus a 1 year where you were sick with COVID, but mm-hmm. a 4th of July party.
Yeah, we were really mad that year that you canceled it.
I know, everyone.
We also would have come.
Like, everyone's like, just go outside.
We're just going to stand in front of your house. Like, you don't have to come out.
Yeah, I think everyone said that, honestly. Victor's like, if I really didn't feel like I had COVID,
yeah,
I'd be like, just come and stay outside.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, but I feel like
he's
death.
Like actually sick.
I feel like crap right yeah. now. So I was like, all right, fine. And I didn't get sick. And I was really upset. I was mm-hmm. like, stop touching everything that you see. And
stop licking
your
every
face.
Surface.
Yes. So mine is that one time. We hosted this year and it was our biggest party, I think.
Yeah. It was like with the lowest average age.
Yeah. Yeah. So many like gaggles of teenagers came. I want to say there were like 13 teenagers in the house running inside and out all night, all day and all night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. The food was good. Victor and our amazing engineers smoked a pork shoulder and then made carnitas out of the
I hear they were great. I didn't get any.
I didn't get any either. And then
you had to cut it all and you still didn't get any.
Oh, I cut up the brisket and shredded it.
Oh, okay.
And then he smoked a brisket as well. And then he was like, you know, so many people are saying they're coming. I think we need more meat. So we went and grabbed some ready to cook carne asada from Safeway. So he was very upset because he was like, maybe I should make some chili. Is this enough time to marinate? I was like, babe, sometimes you just got to get store-bought. He's like,
you can make sure everyone knows which ones are yours and which ones are Safeway's.
Yeah. He's like, I don't. Okay. So we had to concede that was actually probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Less labor intensive. And so he did that. So it was, the food was really good. Katie brought her cupcakes. I ate one.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more, but they were eaten.
Yeah.
As it happens.
Yeah.
And it was good. The fireworks were really great. It was booming late into the 4 and 5 a.m.s.
Yeah. It's weird. I feel like there were fewer sirens this year. Like, maybe the cops have finally just given up.
Yeah. Usually they do several drive-bys by our house when people are, you know, celebrating exuberantly. Yeah, so it was really good. It was, you know, everyone got out unscathed, no burns from, you know, poppers and, you know, sparklers. Usually someone burns a little a fingy. Nothing serious, but everyone had a great time. And the cleanup was not bad because I always get like a wild hair up my butt. At the end of a party, I'm like, I have to like vacuum. I have to wipe all the surfaces. And I'm like exhausted by the end of the night. I kind of pass out. And then morning Meredith is very appreciative of nighttime.
Meredith sacrifices.
Two glasses of wine in Meredith, like having cleaned everything. So anyway, that's about it. What's new with you?
Well, I attended said party. Had a great time. Mm-hmm. I've been a slug, I think, a little bit, but we've talked about this, that's an important part of a teacher over summer break. I have watched a couple scary movies that I hadn't seen before. I watched The Woman in the Yard, which was very unexpected and interesting.
Okay.
And then I watched The Blackening, okay. Which was very entertaining and hilarious and puzzling. I would recommend both of them, you know, just to like, just to see.
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah. And this morning I was a wee bit late to our recording this morning because I got to go for a walk with my son. So like I take a walk, pretty much every morning down to the beach. And, this morning my son was like, "Hey, maybe I'll go with you. Like, wake me up and I'll go with you." And, as I was, you know, just talking with Meredith about, I mean, this is kind of the case, like, anytime you have teenagers, that you pounce on those opportunities where they want to spend time with you and do things with you. But this case, obviously, even more so because he's leaving for college in a couple months. So it was really nice to be able to do that with him this morning. And finally, so this is kind of like a gross part. There has been a dead sea lion on Ocean Beach for 3 weeks now.
Wow. They have a few dead whales.
Yeah, but though, and that's why I was comparing it to like when we've had beached whales, and there have been years where there's been like a spate of them. There'll be like three beached whales in this area in like, you know, a month.
Yeah.
But they clear them off. You know,
ours, like, we blew up with dynamite.
Yeah, but like it's all no. I don't know. Lindemar Beach, I think, is state property. Ocean Beach is well, maybe that's the problem. It's federal property because it's part of Golden Gate National Recreation Area. So maybe that's why. But anyway, so this dead sea lion has been just hanging out on the beach for 3 weeks. And I'm like, keep waiting for some, you know, authority to come clear it away.
Big government is trying to sell these properties, probably.
Yeah.
And the dead, like, the buyers, the dead seal is a perk.
But I had not until this morning actually like gone down and looked at it.
Yeah.
Because the first time I noticed, I'm like, oh my God, is that a dead sea lion? And then it's like a week later, I'm like, the fuck, it's still there. That's weird. It's still there. Maybe it's not a dead sea lion. Maybe it's a rock or a piece of wood that looks like a dead sea lion from a distance. And then the week after that, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure it's a dead sea lion. I'm pretty sure it's a live sea lion that just has taken up residence there. And then I'm like, no, because it hasn't moved. And then like the more time went by, I'm like, the less I want to go see what it looks like now that it's been laying there dead for 3 weeks. But this morning, because Tommy was with me, we hoofed it on down to check it out. And he remarked, and this hadn't occurred to me either, that it was strange that like birds hadn't gone after it.
Yeah.
And because
always the whales have birds pecking at it, seagulls and things.
And so, this was like, there had been like everybody's completely distant. And this is what fueled that period of time when I'm like, maybe it's not actually a dead sea lion because nobody cares. Like, because a lot of the beach walkers and people that bring their dogs to the beach and everything are like down close to where it was. And they're just walking on by, dogs are running on by. Nobody's really paying attention to this thing. Mm-hmm. So it was a real like internal mystery that I was going through for a couple weeks there. And then, so this morning we walked all the way down. Yeah, it wasn't torn up or pecked up. Didn't really even smell that bad.
That's crazy. 'Cause whales.
Oh, like you smell them like a mile away.
Yeah, we smell them at my house. I'm like, oh, there's a dead.
Something's
there's a
beached.
Dead freaking whale. Yeah.
When we first,
all those jellyfish that smell like hot garbage.
Yeah.
When they get all beached up and they're like, they smell like just rotten fish.
Yeah.
It's
good. It's disgusting.
And look at us, first world problem. Ew, I live by the ocean.
The beach stinks today.
It smells. Creatures. I promise I'm not a usually a drinker.
But yeah, I figured that, you know, for those of our listeners that don't, you know, live where we live or in an area kind of like this, that yes, very, very blessed and fortunate to live close to the ocean, but sometimes weird things come along with that.
Very true. And I find myself sometimes even still like pointing out like, oh, look at the pod of porpoises. Yeah. Oh, look at those dolphins. Oh, look.
That's,
do you see the whales cresting? And my kids could give less of a shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, mom. And I'm like, I lived in a cement jungle of Dallas where there was nothing. I'm like, look at those cicadas. Look at the spider that bit me. Like, there's like fire ants.
Yeah.
Nothing, nothing majestic and gorgeous and beautiful to take in. So I'm very fortunate, but sometimes it's a little smelly. Just, you know, comes with the territory.
Well, like, and I'll tell, like, I'm like, you have actual family members that have never seen the ocean ever. Yeah. So, like, and, but I feel like my kids, appreciate it. Tommy likes going in the ocean a lot. He has wanted to surf, learn how to surf for a long time. He, on his senior trip to Hawaii, he, it was, I think, the first time he actually, like, tried with a full-size surfboard. He's done, like, skimboarding and stuff.
Well, it's much warmer in Hawaii also.
Yes, much more pleasant. But he does not mind the temperature of ocean beach water. Like, he's totally cool with it. And I remember when they were little, like, before we moved to the Sunset in San Francisco, when we lived in Westlake, you know, we weren't, like, right, like, the ocean, we were closer, our house was physically closer to the ocean, but it was cliffside. So we couldn't access it the same way we really can now. But I remember, like, because I used to have to drive them to school, and we'd go down Skyline. Anybody that's not around here, like, the Skyline's just this highway that kind of feeds into Highway 1. It's not technically part of Highway 1. Mm-hmm. It's Highway 35, but there's a stretch where, you know, you get just this beautiful, unfettered view of the water.
Maury Point.
Yeah.
It's so gorgeous. Especially when the flowers are blooming, you're like... Mm-hmm. Oh, this is breathtaking, actually. It's really lovely.
But up where we are, like, you know, there's nothing like that. It's just, like, it's the road, and then there's the water. And I remember, like, when we would drive past it going, like, to and from school, we would, like, talk about, like, what color is the water today? Because, you know, it can change dramatically depending on the weather. And I like, told them so much when they were little, like, you guys are so lucky, like, that this is, like, really special that you get to see this every single day of your life. And I remember having a conversation with Tom one time. So he grew up in Millbrae, which is, like, you know, not, you don't have beach access. It's for a little bit further inland down the peninsula. But obviously the ocean and the beach and everything was a part of his childhood and growing up just from, like, being in on the peninsula. Yeah. And he was like, I remember him saying one time, like, no, that's the perk of growing up here is that you get to take it for granted. I'm like, I think that's a not the way I would look at it.
I don't know about that. Well, because, like, other areas, like in Southern California, for example, you can grow up in LA and all these different areas in Los Angeles, but it's a freaking trek to get anywhere near the water, like, sitting through traffic, gridlock.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an hour
and then you get there and you can't park and there's people everywhere.
Congested, it's crazy. And so it's, you know, for me, I just walk 15 minutes and I'm at the beach.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is, I feel, look at this beauty. If I'm having, like, a crappy, you know, a few weeks or whatever, I'm like, you know, sometimes it's nice to, like, slow down a little bit and take it in.
And just
and
go
look
and
at the dead, you know, creatures. Look at the dead creatures. How the hell did that die?
Let's go poke it.
Let's go poke it with a stick. It's for science.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's
what's new.
That's what's
investigated.
New. Yeah.
Seal?
I didn't get close enough and I couldn't see its face well enough to determine if it was a seal or a sea lion. I know that the population in our area leans more towards sea lions than seals. It was pretty big and it looked like its skin texture looked more sea lionish to
it
me.
It seemed like it was annoying that it was probably a sea lion.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey! Yeah, if they could speak English, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing here? And you're like, God.
I'm sorry. But okay. Yeah, I'm very excited for our next installment of the Technological Horror Summer.
Yes. So, Katie had never seen this.
No.
And I turned it on a whim, being like, this looks like a piece of garbage, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll give it a chance. And then I stopped what I was doing.
You were captivated.
I was captivated.
Oh, so good.
I thought, and it's only an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's very short. And I can kind of tell you why, I think, at the end. And it'll be obvious why it's so short.
Yes. Yeah, that was a plot point.
Yeah, that was kind of the whole thing. So this is released in 2020. Nobody of note that was in it, like an actor.
Nobody recognizable at all.
Yes. So it opens with the view of a desktop opening a Zoom call. The user's name is Haley, and the camera is turned on. We can see a film over the camera. There's something they're smoothing. Someone is there in the frame smoothing their hair, and then tape is taken off of the camera to reveal Haley alone in her apartment. I think she just has like masking, you know, like a little bit of scotch tape on top of it. And a lot of people do that because they don't like, you know, people can hack in and like look, you know, spy on you, which is weird. And now that I'm looking at this camera,
pointed right at your bed,
pointed right at my bed. Apparently, maybe someone set up an OnlyFans on my behalf, possibly. But anyway, so she's alone in her apartment. She takes a laptop around for a bit in her apartment and places her computer on her bed. And she invites other users to join the call. Gemma, Caroline, Emma, Radina, and Teddy. She walks away, and we can see Haley reflected in her mirror. Her friend Gemma enters the waiting room, and she puts on, and Haley's putting on a shirt. She's getting dressed. And as she's dressing, there's a thudding sound, which startles her for a moment. And she pauses to go kind of investigate what it is. She asks, hello. And her hallway closet opens, and a bunch of stuff kind of tumbles out, which makes her a little bit like, oh, you know, off put. She cleans the stuff up that fell out and puts it back in the closet, and suddenly there's more thumps and sounds at the window. She opens the blinds to reveal a girl named, it's Gemma, with glasses, and she's throwing rocks at her window, and she's saying, let me in, I'm in the waiting room.
Yeah.
I'm in the waiting room. Is she Australian or something? I can't remember.
Yeah. She has an British accent, I think. I don't know if it was British or Australian.
Yeah. I want to say she had a mask under her chin or something, or over her
under face. Under her nose. Yeah. She was like kind of half-heartedly wearing a mask.
Right. So she asks Haley to let her into the Zoom. She joins on her phone, and Gemma asks if Haley is ready for tonight. Haley says that she's done it a few times, and usually something will happen. Gemma says, ooh, sounds a little bit scary, like that. And Gemma has finally arrived back at her own apartment. And I'm guessing she just lives a few blocks away from Haley. And she joins the Zoom on her computer, making, you know, user error noises, which is that annoying echo when you join a call on your phone and on your computer. It makes like a noise. Mm-hmm. It's really strange.
Haley was like, you gotta mute your, and I'm like, as the viewer, I was like, fucking mute the other thing. It's like so grating.
Leave the call. Yeah. You don't need to be on there twice. Okay. So, but Gemma's like laughing, like, she looks a little bit silly. Which it was kind of like when 2020, the shutdown happened, this is a little bit of an aside. People who aren't really technology savvy had to figure that stuff out. And it was like so painful to watch that. Day after day, all the people that I worked with, like, not understanding technology or unmuting themselves and talking shit. And I'm like, you're not on me. Hey, everyone can hear you.
Yeah, we're listening to this right now.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, as I said, Gemma is back in her house. Emma and Radina join the call. And Emma comments that she is a little bit nervous. Haley reassures her that everything will be fine. Radina has a glass of wine and is in the kitchen. She mutes herself for a moment to turn around and fuss at her boyfriend. He's like making dinner or cooking or something. Yeah. And she's like, hey, you know, could you knock it off?
Yeah.
Caroline joins the call with her facial stuff on her face.
her mask.
Yeah. She comments that her pores are not doing well in lockdown. Caroline shows her dad and complains that he's being a little bad boy. Despite a lockdown, he keeps going out. She keeps having to chase after him, being like, you can't go out. And he just seems like an old, funny dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Radina goes to complain to her boyfriend again because he's chopping loudly, and he gets pissed and leaves the room.
Did you like resonate at all with when she did that, when she went off to talk to the boyfriend and all her friends were like, I don't know, like, do you think them moving in because for lockdown was like a good, like, I don't know if that was a good idea.
Yeah.
That's what you and Victor did.
I know. Well, no, I didn't even think about that, but I did. I'm like, you know, they're not muted.
Right.
Like,
yeah. They can hear Radina you.
And her boyfriend can hear you, even though they muted themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what my boyfriend, now husband, and I did. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it either would work or not.
Yeah.
Like, what a test of a relationship to, like, sink or swim, and it like we
deep end of the pool. Day
yeah,
one.
We thrived, and you know, I guess we ended up getting married. So he didn't. He wasn't like Regina's boyfriend,
right? He didn't chop too loudly.
He wasn't chopping too loud. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I don't know. He probably chops pretty loudly.
He does chop pretty loudly. Her friends comment, as I said, they shouldn't have moved in together during the lockdown after being only together for a short time. Regina's boyfriend is, you know, pissed. He leaves the room to go to the other bedroom, and Regina comes back and takes herself off mute and comments like she has all this space now when she's like, he just goes to the bedroom and then I have the whole other part of the apartment. So this is fine. The friends use a few funny filters. Caroline shows past footage of her walking around in her room as her background, commenting that this is what the lockdown has led her to make herself as her own friend.
Yeah.
It's just a background that starts playing with her. She's just walking around doing stuff in her room.
So it looks like there's two of her in the image, like the one that's talking to the screen, and then one.
Her just walking around.
Walking around behind
her. It's like a background filter, like video of like somebody walking around her on a loop.
Which I didn't know that was something that you could do, like use a video as a Zoom background.
I didn't know either. I just blurred it because I didn't like make my bed and stuff. So Emma tells them that she heard from Teddy and that he will actually be there tonight. And just to give Caroline a heads up. Then they hen about Teddy and how fake and lame his girlfriend is. And he's spending the lockdown with her and at her parents in a mansion. Suddenly in pops Teddy, and they're like talking crap, and they're like, oh, hi, Teddy, how's it going? And they say hi to him and his girlfriend. They're out by the pool. Then he brings his phone inside, and they comment on his man bun, and he calls it a twat knot. He's funny. He's like a British dude.
Yeah.
And he seems kind of like he's there for a laugh. He gives him a quick tour of the house. He's like, there's a large bar behind him, and he's like, it's really hard not to get knackered every single day drinking. But he says he's ready for tonight. He went home, he broke quarantine to get a creepy music box. It's a music box that belonged to his nan, and his brother would hide it around the house when he was a kid and just randomly play it to make him cry. To, you know, freak him out. Caroline says she, at this point, Caroline's like, I don't really want to do it. She's like kind of nervous.
Yeah.
And Haley is like, it'll be fine. But also, please be respectful. The medium is a friend of hers. So please don't talk too much crap. And, you know, just, you know, trying to be serious.
Yeah. Like, I think she knows that, like, her friends, like, don't believe that this is real. Like, what they're about to do is real. But she doesn't want them to, like, act in a way that offends the person doing it, who obviously does think it's real.
Right, yeah. So try to be respectful, even if they think it's a little bit silly. Just, you know, keep it to yourself,
right?
Essentially. So Teddy asks if they can take a shot every time. The medium says astroplane. And then they all do a little toast. And Haley, of course, is like, it's astral plane, you douche. Yeah, right. he's like, and he's like, hey, can we do a cheeky little shot every time she says astral plane?
Yeah.
So then they all do a toast together. Like, they're like, it resonated with me a little bit. I'm like, this is kind of how I got together with people.
Yeah, this was what book club meetings.
Yeah, we're like, just do a quick like toast. Let's take a sip of our wine or our water or beer or a shot or whatever, and be happy that we're all converging, taking the time to like check in with each other.
Yeah,
even if they're doing a seance or whatever. Haley also shows up her Polaroid camera that she took out for the occasion as well. So I was like, oh, Polaroid.
Just keeps popping up.
Polaroids keep popping up. So the medium's in the waiting room, and the friends joke a little bit about it. Haley asks him, please keep the joking to a minimum again. She reminds him that. The medium's name is Salen. She's very friendly. I think she's Scottish or something. And she comments that she's never done anything like this over Zoom. So that seems a little bit interesting to me. Salen asks if they brought objects that have a connection with family. Gemma asks if her grandparents are Chinese and she's English, will she still be able to communicate with them? Salen comments that they can communicate with her still, and she says the astral plane many times in her explanation of what yeah. you know, what's going to happen with the seance.
And they're all just like sneaking cheeky
little sips of their drinks every time she says it. And then Teddy's like, wait, what's that plate again? And she's like, astral plane. And then he takes another shot.
And Haley is like, you can see on her face. She's like, come on, like, fucking like, stop it.
God damn it, guys. Yeah. Like, that's kind of where she's at. So she also makes it clear, once everyone has their candles lit and ready, that they may be slightly less safe than they would be in person. So it's important they, you know, respect the spirits and one another.
Yeah.
You know, just respect the process of this thing they're about to do. So Saylan describes how to end the connection for, I want to say the further, but that's kind of like what they're trying to do, right?
Yeah. The astral plane.
The astral plane. end the connection and for... some peace of mind, because some of them, I think, who was it, Caroline's like, I'm a little bit nervous. She's like, okay, let me tell you how to kind of end the connection.
If you're uncomfortable, if things don't go well, this is what you do to stop.
Yeah. So she said, usually, you know, they'd be holding hands. So imagine you're holding hands and you have their one candle in the center of the circle. And since they aren't actually there together, they will need, she wants them to visualize a cord around their waist. And they're cutting the cord to sever the connection with the spirit. So just visualize themselves cutting the cord.
Right.
That's the connection.
Because they can't physically let go of each other to break the circle like if they were in person.
Right. Now she's ready to start and ask them to close their eyes and visualize the circle of themselves. They're all participating, and suddenly Teddy's girlfriend surprises him, and his candle's blown out, and she's like, sorry, Teddy has to go. And like, he leaves the Zoom.
Yeah. And they are pissed.
Yeah.
Because they already, like, hate the girlfriend. And then she goes and does that.
Yeah. And she's, like, kind of super disrespectful in that few moments that she was on screen, too. Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm closing my eyes. She's like, sorry, Teddy has to go. And I'm like, sorry, you can't have... You have him literally 24 hours a day. You can't, like, let him go and hang out with his friends for, like, 5 seconds without you. Anyway, much to the disappointment of his friends, Gemma calls him a knob sack. And Saylan asked them, you know, don't let that affect them and please maintain their focus. Saylan asks them, you know, they can still participate in, or excuse me, communicate with the spirits, even if they aren't with one another. And that if one of them, that maybe one of them can be possessed. Caroline seems concerned because she goes like that.
Yeah.
And Saylan explains, you know, don't be scared by that word. It simply means that whenever it is, the spirit would communicate through one of them, and it doesn't necessarily have the negative connotation
that we all have been built to associate with the term possession.
Sure, yeah. Like, it's not like a Reagan situation. She asked them to visualize that they are... Oh, hold on. That's what I already said. No, I'm correct. So she asked them once again to visualize that they are together in their circle and asks if there's anything there to please come forward. All of them ask out loud, you know, if anything's here, please come forward. And Saylan asks them if any names or faces have popped into their heads. She notices a light or something that is kind of static sitting behind Radina. There's a noise from Haley, and Saylan asks the spirit to make another sound to show itself. There's another knock, and everyone kind of freaks out a little bit, but it's Saylan's delivery.
Yeah. Food delivery. Uber Eats.
DoorDash or something. She apologizes and she goes to answer the door. The friends laugh about her food delivery, and they're like, is she coming back? No one's on Saylan's camera, and then she walks back into view and she apologizes again. She's like, I'm so sorry. That was supposed to come before this call, and I wasn't expecting it to
show. I was
planning
on eating during the seance.
Right. So she apologizes again. Stanley Haley mentioned that a hand is suddenly on her shoulder. Mm-hmm. And Gemma then jumps back and says that something touched her neck. She says that there's an unbearable pressure on her neck. And she asks if, you know, someone there. And she says that a kid named Jack comes to mind. And that when she was a kid in school, Jack was nice to her. And then he took his own life through hanging.
Yeah.
Hanged himself.
And this is like all really surprising because Gemma was probably like the most skeptical and silly about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other, like Caroline's really scared. Emma and Radina are like, you know, just kind of like chill or whatever.
Like
in for the
romp.
Right. But Gemma's like definitely seems to be the most irreverent toward the whole process. So for then her to be the one that's like, oh my God, like, I felt something. Something's happening. Like, there's this whole thing. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and she looks distressed.
Yeah.
So then suddenly Saline is gone. She drops from the Zoom call. Mm-hmm. And Gemma is crying with her hands over her face and looks very distraught. Haley calls Saline on the phone since she's dropped from the Zoom. They all ask Gemma if she is okay, and she stops and she starts laughing.
Like, you bitch.
She's like, ha, 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 ha. And they admonish her, and she's just laughing her ass off. Haley is pretty pissed.
Yeah.
And says she's going to the bathroom. Then they all leave their cameras to use the bathroom, and Gemma's candle goes out while she is gone. Then she returns and lights it again. Gemma says that she's like, I sense, when they're all back at their computers, I sense tension. And Haley's like, dude, fuck off. Yeah. Like, she's really pissed that Gemma did that. Then they all start to argue because Gemma was just trying to spice things up.
She's and like, it was boring. We were just sitting here. Nothing was happening.
She's like, nothing was happening. And then suddenly, Haley tells Gemma, fuck all the way off, kind of. Mm. And suddenly, Haley's chair is dragged across the kitchen until it hits the wall.
Oh, yeah. She's like yanked from behind. Very scary.
Yeah.
And like very sudden. And they like, you know, they're everyone's all just like watching it happen. There's no one else. There's no way that she fakes it or there's nobody else there. It's just like out of nowhere.
It's like somebody took her chair and just pulled her.
Right.
Just behind and hit until she hit the kitchen wall. Because she's zooming from her kitchen. Yeah. Her
dining table or something. Yeah, yeah. In the kitchen behind her.
Right. So Haley stands up and's like, oh, it was not me. This is not me. And there's nothing attached to her chair.
You can't really fake
it. She shows her chair. She's like, oh, what the fuck, guys? And everyone's kind of freaking out. Mm-hmm. Haley thinks that something is there in her apartment. She calls out again to communicate with whatever it is. And there's a thump in Haley's apartment. She turns up the volume of the Zoom really, really loud so you can hear any audio that's happening through her camera. She asks, is anyone there? She takes her laptop and turns it around to walk around her dark apartment. And suddenly there's a creaking and her friends are just watching terrified and the viewer is watching terrified.
Yeah, like, so suspenseful. Mm-hmm, like you're just on
like
the edge.
I feel like we're in it.
Yeah.
I felt like I was a friend in that Zoom just kind of watching and being like, oh my gosh, what the hell is going to happen? Suddenly there is a thump, but Haley says, that was not in my house. That was not coming from me.
That was on another
and another Zoom user. Yeah. Another Zoom user in the call. She returns to her kitchen, and Caroline hears another noise, another thump. Because they're all kind of like watching, listening to Haley, and suddenly there's a thump, and they're like, and Haley's like, oh, that didn't come from my house. Mm-hmm. What the hell? So Caroline is like, oh, she realizes it's in her house. And she calls out to her dad. She's like, Dad, Dad, is that you? Then there's a thumping and crashing somewhere else. She realizes it's coming from up. She's upstairs in her house. And she's quarantining with her dad.
Right.
Caroline was in her own bedroom and realizes that the noises are coming from the attic of her house. Mm-hmm. And her dad surely is probably not up in the attic randomly in the middle of
he's wandering around downtown, wondering where everybody is.
He's going to the pub. So she goes and realizes the thump came from the attic door. She pulls it and the door down of the attic and pulls the ladder down. They ask, Caroline, please take us up. Take us up.
We want to see too.
We want to see. And she says, okay. She puts the camera up and is about to go climb up the ladder. And then she instead runs to her room and grabs a selfie stick. Mm. And then she puts the phone on the selfie stick. And we are about to see what's in her attic. Mm-hmm. There's lots of boxes and stuff, but Caroline's downstairs. She's like, no, I'm not climbing up there.
She doesn't go up there. She just sticks the phone up there.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's down there on the main second floor holding up the selfie stick so the viewer and all of her friends can see what's up in her
But like attic. She wouldn't be able. Would she be able to see?
No.
In that moment?
No, because she's holding it way up above her head. So she can't. She cannot see.
So she's the only one that is not seeing what's up in the attic.
Correct. So she puts the phone up there, and we see lots of boxes. There's lots of like other things that you'd store up in an attic, and suddenly there's feet hanging up there,
dangling
gray feet and legs hanging up there. Caroline doesn't see it because she's down the ladder, and then she retreats to her room. They beg Haley, call Saylan, call Saylan. And Caroline's in tears because everyone's like, what the fuck was that? And she's like, I don't know.
She's like, I don't know. What did you see?
Yeah. But she's like, but I'm not about to go climb up there and find out. So she runs back. She retreats back to her room. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, Haley hears something in her hallway and points the camera, her camera, to it. She asks the others if they see what she's looking at. And none of them see it. Haley is looking at it and pointing. And she's like, I can see it. It's right there. And it's looking at me. Mm-hmm. So she runs back and grabs her Polaroid and takes a photograph. The Polaroid is developing and she's showing her friends what's coming onto the camera, and it looks like someone or something is hanging, mm-hmm. hanging there in her hallway or her red bedroom or something.
Yeah.
Suddenly Emma's glass just shatters. I think she had a glass of wine or something.
Yeah.
And she flips the fuck out, as she probably should.
As we all would, mm-hmm. I think. We'd be really upset that we no longer have our wine.
Yeah. That's the worst part. So... Haley gets a hold of Saylan, and they tell her that they've been experiencing things, and they're really afraid. And Saylan's super calm. She's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, let's talk it out. Like, you know, don't worry. And she asks, is it Gemma's friend Jack? Mm-hmm. And she asks if they have asked Jack, you know, if it's Jack, and, you know, what does he want and all this stuff. And Haley fesses up and is like, Jack's not real. Gemma made her up, made him up. Mm-hmm. And Saylan's not happy. She's like, I told you to be respectful yeah. of this and not do something like this.
Well, and like she clarifies, like, did she make up that she was feeling something, or did she make up Jack entirely? Mm-hmm. And they were like, she made him up entirely. There is no Jack. And mm-hmm. she was like, oh, that's worse.
Correct. So this is not good. She tells them not to, I told you, don't disrespect this whole thing and the spirits. And that since Gemma basically made him up, anything can come through and kind of wear the mask mm-hmm. of that made up entity.
Yeah.
As, you know, and wreak havoc, essentially. Mm-hmm. She tells them if they're lucky, it's just another spirit that's kind of come through. Mm-hmm. And Caroline's like, but what if we aren't lucky?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it could be something demonic. And Gemma just invited it in.
Yeah. Way to go, Gemma.
Yeah. And Saylan's like, you need to shut it down. You need to shut this down now, whatever is going on. She asks if the spirit has a message. One knock for yes, two for no. Haley's lights just turn off and then back on. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, one knock, essentially.
Yeah.
She asks, are you a friend? And suddenly there's a huge power surge and a loud noise. Mm-hmm. And everyone is like, ah, freaking out. Haley drops the call on her phone, and Saylan is also gone again mm-hmm. from communication. She scrambles to get back on her phone, and Haley reminds them to apologize to the spirit. Imagine, she's like, we got this. Remember, Saylan said, apologize, imagine the rope around your waist. And cut it and blow out your candle to mm-hmm. kind of end this whole connection, situation yeah. that happened. They all do it. They all seem a little bit relieved and startled. They are like, oh, that was intense.
God. That was crazy. Oh, I'm my glad God.
That's over.
Yeah.
It made me think of the other movie we watched with.
Oh, the Unfriended?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they are like, oh, he got the Trojan horse virus out, yeah. the user's gone, phew, it's all over.
And they're all laughing and like, oh, God, yeah. that was stressful, that felt real. Oh, okay. So, let's see. Radina, they all are relieved and startled. Radina takes her computer to the toilet and then her room. Caroline leaves her room because she hears something. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, thank goodness. Well, I'm probably going to go. And Radina also notices her boyfriend's gone. You know, yeah. she went to go to the bathroom. Where could he have gone, though? He was supposed to, like, only be in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know where he is. So she calls him on the phone. Gemma wants to leave the call. She's like, I'm done. You know, this is crazy. Sorry about the whole makeup.
Sorry about letting a demon in.
letting a demon in. But then suddenly Caroline is back. And they're calling to her, and they're realizing it's her background, her...
The video.
Yeah, where it's just playing with her in the background, because they're like, hello, Caroline, is there... Can she not hear us? And they're like, oh, it's the thing that she made of herself, like, playing in the background. And she's walking around the room, and suddenly the laptop falls onto the ground, and they call Caroline on the phone, but she doesn't answer. And they're like, this is very strange, because Caroline went to go investigate something and she is nowhere to be found. Emma's walking around her apartment and was fooling around with some filters a little bit. And suddenly the Zoom filter has put a face in the middle of her living room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Emma had like a little snake face. She's going, they're like, quit fucking around with filters,
Take
Emma.
The filters
she's,
off.
She's like, tee hee hee. You know, I'm so funny. And the filter has found something in the bedroom. And so it's kind of floating in the middle of her living room.
And it's like a white spooky mask thing.
Yeah, it makes me think
of... like a Guy Fawkes mask.
I don't know. It makes me think of The Strangers, like one of the... Like the girl, like the baby doll mask.
Maybe, yeah.
And it's super creepy. Emma reaches out to it and she jumps away. And then she goes into her kitchen and grabs some flour.
Doesn't it, like, turn and look at him? Look at her?
Yeah, it kind of turns to look at her. And she's like, ah! And she goes and grabs some flour and throws it at the whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly the kitchen cabinets all open and crap flies out of it. Mm-hmm. And there's footprints that appear in the flour. Everything flies out of her. Well, actually, hold on. Let me go back. The kitchen cabinets all open. And footprints appear in the flower. And suddenly, after that moment, stuff flies out of the cabinets. And they're, like, yelling at her to get out. And she starts to approach the kitchen again. And there are more flower footprints appear on the floor. And it's more like stomping. It's like boom, 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 like that.
Yeah.
And Emma is then pulled up into the air and dropped. Mm. You see her, like, fly. It's like, suddenly she's like, ah, airborne, smashed onto the ground of her apartment. She gets back up. She's not like super injured, but she's definitely has the shit scared out of her. And she's been roughed up by whatever the hell this is. And she goes into her bedroom and pulls the covers up over her head. She's like, no.
She goes into full Blair Witch Project at that point.
Oh, yeah. So then they yell at Radina to, you know, they're like, they're like, you need to leave. And then they yell at Radina and they're like, something's up. Everyone needs to leave their house. Mm-hmm. They need to go. And they are yelling at her, you know, get out of the house. And suddenly the oven and Radina has her computer still facing her kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you can see her stove and on her fridge and everything. And suddenly there's smoking that starts coming out of her oven. And Radina goes to the computer and they're like, Radina. And she's like, what? Mm. And what is it? And suddenly her boyfriend comes flying off of the ceiling into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the hell? And
that's where he was this whole time.
He's being like, you know, floating up in the ceiling or something. I don't know. She runs, tries to run out and something picks her up and just smashes the hell out of her. And she's not. And there's like blood spatters on her computer camera or her phone or whatever she was using. I'm assuming it's her computer. Something picks her up. Oh, I already said that. So suddenly several messages come through on chat through Caroline. And it's kind of nonsense. It's just like as if someone's just smashing keys.
Right.
Which is exactly what's happening. Caroline is shows up and you see her filter of her walking back and forth on her in her bedroom and you see her face being smashed into the keyboard repeatedly and she has a bloody nose. It's like it's very violent and then until she stops making noises. So something has attacked her pretty viciously as well. So then suddenly Haley's chair is dragged away again and she's like out of view again and her whole apartment is kind of dark and she's like and then she cannot be seen and Gemma's like Haley oh my god, like she's seen her friends all get attacked and just, you know, roughed up, maybe dead, and she has had enough. Gemma's like, she might be thinking, oh, I fucked up. She's like, she leaves, you see her put on her face mask and she's running to Haley's apartment. She's like, I'm gonna go. I'm coming to get you. And so then suddenly somebody joins the Zoom call. And Emma's sitting there freaking out with her blanket over her head watching. Yeah. And it's the marionette that Teddy had shown earlier. I forgot to mention he kind of showed the house he's staying in. There was a marionette that's kind of creepy and all these little things in his house. So it starts moving and stuff, and it appears on the screen. And suddenly Teddy is back. And he's like, sorry, that took a little bit longer than I thought. And yeah. Emma's like looking in horror.
And he's like, hey, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah. He's like, what's going on? She's like, you need to leave your house. And he's like, oh, quit putting me on. You know, why are you fucking
taking a piss?
You're taking the piss. He doesn't believe her. And then he goes to turn his back on. Suddenly all the lights go off in his house. And he's like, oh, God, I'm going to go flip the breaker. Hold on. And he's like going up the steps of this dark house, and suddenly there is a face, an entity's face, mm-hmm. and it's gray and horrifying and looks like a demon or something. And it's very jarring noise, I think, as soon as the entity is in the view of the camera. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of the sudden noise that happens when in Sinister, when you see suddenly, specifically I'm thinking of when the lawnmower is going, and suddenly there's people under the lawnmower, and it's like a crazy, like
distorted, yeah,
like a roaring kind of noise. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same. It's very jarring, and you're like, oh my God, what the fuck was that? It's very scary and done very well. It was crazy. So, So Teddy's like, oh God, that's not great. And he's like, what the fuck was that? And he runs out. They're like, get out. Or Emma's like, get out of the house. He's running outside. We see the entity again. Suddenly, Teddy's girlfriend is being pulled up by something over the pool and snaps her neck and throws her into the pool. Mm-hmm. Teddy hides. There's like a bunch of wood, chopped firewood or something. He's outside and he's hiding behind it. And he thinks that whatever it was followed him there. He has a flashlight. He runs into a barn. The flashlight pops and breaks. And he suddenly hears the music box that he got from his nan's house. He puts his liner on to kind of see what is going on. He's approached by something and he's knocked unconscious. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he's on fire from his lighter. He's just like ignited.
Yeah.
And Emma's shouting at him, wake up, Teddy, wake up. And suddenly Teddy's gone. He's like lit on fire, and he gets up screaming, and then no more Teddy anymore. And then Emma is left alone. She's shouting for Teddy, and then she hears thumping in her room, in her bedroom. Mm-hmm. She has a blanket over her head. We only kind of see like a little bit of her face. Mm-hmm. And she eventually has to go face whatever's there. She throws the blanket onto the entity, and it lands, or she's like, just throws her blanket into like
the air
and it lands on
something.
It forms like a human shape, and she tries to run and is thrown from the sky onto a table outside. Mm-hmm. I forgot how we see that. Like, I think her phone or something's thrown outside, and then there's a view
we have an angle of the backyard and we see her land on that table. So yeah, I don't remember how we see that.
So we see her out there. So finally we see Gemma. She breaks into Haley's house. She's like, knock, knock, knock. Haley, Haley, Haley. We hear breaking of glass, and then suddenly Gemma is in Haley's kitchen. She's like, Haley, Haley, and I think a bottle or something just flies off the counter and hits right in the head.
I thought that was going to be the end of the movie. Oh. I thought it was going to be one of those just like kind of unsatisfying, but just like very real endings. It's like they got one by one by one by one, and Gemma tried to go to save Haley, and she got there, and the entity immediately just like killed her.
Yeah. You're dead.
Yeah.
Well, she's not. She's knocked out. There's glass all over the ground. She gets up. She has like a bloody head. And she's only knocked out for like a moment. She gets up and she's pretty defiant. She's like, fuck you. I'm going to find my friend. And she goes and finds Haley in search of her. And she opens different doors and finally finds her hiding under Haley hiding under a desk. She's like, it's here. It's here in my house. Mm-hmm. And so she gets up and she's like, we're going to get out of here. So she gets her Polaroid, or Haley does, and the two of them walk down the hallway together. She takes photos and the flash illuminates suddenly she's taken many photographs, and suddenly the flash illuminates an entity's face that is bloody. Hold on, I have to take a sip.
I just love that, like, so many of these movies just keep pulling in that whole Polaroid element. Like, it's the only reliable source of data, you know, for supernatural.
It's the only way to catch the entity.
Yeah.
So, as I said, suddenly there's a flash and it illuminates an entity's face again, and it's horrifying. And it's bloody, and the Zoom call suddenly ends. And the screen says, "Thank you for choosing Zoom." And basically, like, to upgrade, to go, because a meeting can only last an hour.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why this movie is only an hour in, like, 5 minutes.
Because and all of us that, you know, went through COVID, like, it's like if you didn't have a subscription or if it wasn't through your job or whatever, you could have I thought it was 40 minutes. Is an hour?
I don't know, probably 45, hour, like, for the movie's sake.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that was what was free. And so you had to wrap up your shit before then or start a new free one. Unless you had somebody's, like, I remember, like, for book clubs that, like, some people had, like, Zoom accounts through work that were paid accounts. So there wasn't the time limit. And so, like, that was the person we always used the account for.
Right. Yeah. But it was annoying when they're like, "I have to go." And then everyone's like, "Oh, our meeting ended."
Yep. Bye, person.
Bye, everybody. But so suddenly it's like, and Zoom call ends.
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Oh my God." And then they showed who was working production and who was all the actors and everything through different users and contacts on the Zoom.
Yeah. And it scrolls through. It was really
creative. Yeah. I thought that was kind of fun. And anyway, that's the end of Host. Mm-hmm. Did you think it was scary?
Super, super scary. Like, I kind of wish that I had, like, watched it at nighttime. Because I think it would have been, like, even more fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, great, great story, great scares, great suspenseful parts. Like especially, I remember the part at the end when Gemma goes to Haley's apartment. Because when Haley, when she gets yanked off of the call the second time, she gets pulled, like, through this doorway, and then the door closes behind her.
Yeah,
and
she's, so, like, pulled through the hallway out, not just to the kitchen wall the first time.
So when Gemma goes in there, like, she has to go open that door. Like, she's in a dark apartment, she's looking for her friend in this demon infested place, and she has to, like, open the door on the dark hallway, and it's like, you don't know what's behind this door. And then she has to walk past, like, the open door to the bathroom, and then, like, she checks it, like, the closet, and you've got to open, like, that period of time between when she starts down that hallway to finding Haley under the desk is, like, I mean, it's not that long, but it's so suspenseful because it, like, at any turn, at any moment, you're just waiting for something to be revealed or something to happen.
Yeah. Like at Teddy's house. Mm-hmm. You're like, what's going to come popping out?
Yeah. And so I felt like, you know, that use of suspense was done really well in a couple of the parts. And, like, you know, some of the scares it was impressive because they weren't truly jump scares. Like, when you see the feet hanging in the attic at Caroline's, that wasn't, like, a sudden, you know, thing. It wasn't supposed to, like, you know, shock you in that way. It was just kind of, like, revealed. But it was, like, so scary anyway.
And you're like, did I just saw what I thought I saw?
That's, ooh. I don't want to have seen that thing. That's not,
ooh,
good.
No.
And especially, like, Caroline's death too. Like, you know, you'd been watching that looped video of her walking around in the background of her own bedroom. And then when, you know, then the chat starts coming through with all those weird characters, and you're like, oh, is the demon in her computer? Is the demon writing this chat? I don't know. And then you see her face, like it's breaking through the filter repeatedly every time her head is slammed into the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps coming, like, in and out of our view. And it's just, it's so scary and, like, shocking. That was a super cool moment. There was just so many really, like, fun, scary moments, for it to be using like all of these different like rooms and sets and scenes and it's maybe even a little chaotic, mm-hmm. Because they're all kind of experiencing different stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they're being, you know, oppressed or whatever, with kind of different means. But it was so good. And I think maybe that was helped by how short it was, too, because mm-hmm. it was like there was a little bit of a buildup. Like I wouldn't call it like a really slow burn. But there was a good portion of time at the beginning before like the first like legit thing happens, which is probably what like Haley's chair being jerked out behind her was the first thing that was like truly like scary and unexplainable for them.
Right.
Like we saw a couple of other things. Like we see Gemma's candle go out by itself when she's away from her computer. But when mm-hmm. she comes back, she's just like, oh, the candle blew out. Like,
yeah, that... she thinks like nothing of it and relights it.
Exactly. And so those like those little there was little tidbits here and there. Mm-hmm. But like once that first thing happens where Gemma's chair gets pulled, then it's like all hell breaks loose, like continually right. for the whole rest of the movie. And you're just like, it's like this nonstop onslaught of just like scary ass shit. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I'm glad you liked it. I was like, I think it's really fun. I think you'll like it. Yeah. So
obviously you like, did you think it was scary?
I mean, there are parts where I was like, ooh, like, you know, it made me, it's one of those where it was a movie that surprised me, and I love being surprised, mm-hmm. like, you know, pleasantly surprised by a movie that I'm like, oh, this
seems... You have low expectations.
Right. And a formula that's an old formula that's just some friends getting together, but this time on Zoom, and they're mm-hmm. doing a seance, but this time on Zoom.
Yeah. You don't have that like security or safety of being actually with your friends. You're right. Alone.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is fun. It's like a little spin on something that's kind of an old trope. Like, let's call a spirit. Okay.
Let's play with this Ouija board.
Yeah. But this time you're by yourself. And you have no one to kind of reassure you except mm-hmm. for your technology. You're depending on technology that's unreliable mm-hmm. as well, because Salen keeps getting dropped from right. the Zoom and the phone call. And, you know, it was inexpensive to make, I think this movie
had
was.
To have been,
And it was unknown people. And it was just a fun, you know, scary, very creative. And it felt real. Mm-hmm. And I think as the viewer, you felt like you were part of it, too. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really fun. I loved it. And I liked the reveal of this entity and the quick little explanation. Like, why is there suddenly this thing here?
Why is there a demon?
And Salen's like, oh, it's just taking on the form of something you described.
Yeah. You created something fake and it took the opportunity.
To make a mask of, you know, fit the mask, put mm-hmm. put the monster's mask on and suddenly show up and just like fuck shit up, basically.
Just fucking kill everybody.
Right. And so I loved it. And then the reveal of the demon or whatever, it was smart. It was scary. It seemed realistic. Like, I'm going to get my selfie camera and selfie stick and hold it up in the attic. And then everyone's like freaking out. And Karen's like, what'd you see? They're like,
And you don't even like know, because there's a hanging person there. And then Haley's Polaroid is mm-hmm. of a person hanging. Mm-hmm. But that's like... not explained. Like, that's not the demon. I don't think. But there, it just like it. That's the chaotic out. Like, the we don't know what's happening. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I assumed it was the demon just presenting itself to get them afraid, to scare them.
Okay, showing them something that would frighten them.
Yeah, yeah. Like the hanging Jack hanged himself, right? So it's like,
oh, that's right. I didn't make that connection that Gemma said that Jack hung himself.
Right. Yeah. So he's like, ooh, this'll be fun to terrorize these bozos. Yeah. But let me in, taking cheeky little shots. And I invited myself in. So, I thought it was great.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because when we did the episode on Unfriended, and we were talking about the format of the movie of being like the whole thing, you're just watching someone's computer screen. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time I was like, oh, nobody else has ever done this. And now, like, obviously that was not correct. It was definitely the first movie I'd ever seen that took that approach. And Unfriended was pre-COVID. It wasn't people online because they had to be online. It was just teenagers.
Because that was the only way you could communicate, like, late into the night without your parents.
Yeah, your parents aren't going to let you go, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this one obviously uses that same format where you feel like you're watching someone's computer screen the whole time. And it's Haley's primarily that you're experiencing, because she's the one that starts the meeting and invites all the other guests and everything.
Yeah.
But you're seeing everybody else's stuff as well. And I feel like both of them were really successful in using that to draw you in as the viewer and make you feel more in the action. Mm-hmm. And because we talked about back when we did that whole theme of found footage, and we were talking about how, like, first person camera footage in a horror movie can make it scarier because you feel like you're the one in danger.
Yeah.
Rather than you're watching other people.
You're like afraid of that Blair Witch that's going to come get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're there with them. You are experiencing it as if you are a participant rather than a viewer, from like third person camera angles. And so these two, Unfriended and Host, both did a really, really good job, I think, of using that tool to make you more frightened as the viewer. But the funny thing was, is so I watched, I'm trying to remember what service. It might have been Freevee or whatever that I watched Host on. Mm-hmm. And so when it finished and it kicked over to, like, you know, just the next movie they think you'll like based on this selection.
Yeah.
And it was called Deadware. Okay. And I was like, all right. And it was also very short. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, and it's clearly, like, tech-based too. So, like, maybe I'll check this out. Maybe this could be something that we would want to talk about. Oh, my God. It was so bad.
Deadware.
Yeah. Deadware. And it was like, even though it was set, I mean, it was set pre-COVID, but I think after, it was made after Unfriended, and yet they're using this webcam chat system that I have never seen before. Like, it's not Google Meet, and maybe it's just like a licensing thing, because it wasn't a Zoom, it wasn't Skype, it wasn't any recognizable chat thing. And it was just these two characters, this girl and this guy, that were like old friends, and the girl had moved to San Francisco, the guy was still in San Antonio, and they were chatting online. And then they have this mutual friend, and she kind of comes into the conversation, and then they go off, and they end up finding this online, this like monster house or House of the Dead online game.
Yeah.
That this mutual friend that's now kind of like MIA had been playing. Mm-hmm. And so they get pulled into this rabbit hole of her and the game, and it all starts to, like, kind of indicate that it's not just a game. And so, like, the idea seems like it could have been good, but the way these two individuals acted made me want to scream. It almost seemed like they didn't even have a script. Like, they were just making it up as they went along, and they were the two worst improv people ever. Like, because sometimes, like, one of them would say a line and then there'd be like a pause, like the other one didn't know that it was their turn to talk. Mm-hmm. And then they would, like, say something that kind of responded to what the previous, and it's like, sometimes that can sound very natural, because when people are having a conversation and it's not scripted and it's not planned out or it's not being recorded, sometimes it doesn't sound super articulate or intelligent, you know, and especially, like, if you're just online, if, like, you're playing a game or whatever, you're not thinking about the statements or comments you're making to the other person. And so that can be a very natural thing. But for some reason, with these two actors, like, when they spoke, I was like, could you guys suck more? Like, but it was really short. So I did watch it all the way through to the end, and the end was stupid. And I was like, wow, that it was like the whole other end of the spectrum of this, taking this format of a computer screen and, you know, the character, you're seeing the characters because they're on a chat platform and then, you know, it's online shit. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was so, so, so bad.
Yeah.
But there was also, like, with Unfriended.
So I won't check it out
then. No, do not watch Deadware. Put it on your list with The Painted.
Garbage. Okay.
But, like, when I was, it came to mind when you were talking about Host, that one of the interesting things about Host is that the evil is not in the tech. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Unfriended, the evil is using the tech to manipulate right?
Right. Yeah.
And in Deadware, the evil was also present and using and operating within the tech, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in Host, like, that demon didn't give a shit that they were on Zoom. Like, this demon doesn't even know what Zoom is. Like, he was just, he got summoned and was like, I'm here to party. And the Zoom was just there as a tool for us to witness it all.
True. But also, the situation of them having to be on Zoom and lockdown was also what kind of caused the whole thing. Like, because if Saylin was there and they were all together, probably none of this would have happened.
Yeah, maybe. And then it's interesting because now that I say that, it had to have been using the tech in some way, because really, if not for the Zoom, Gemma would be the only one who was being attacked.
Right.
Right. So, like, the seance had to be their connection through Zoom had to have also been a spiritual connection. Yeah. Otherwise, the demon wouldn't have been able to move from where Gemma physically was to where the rest of them physically were.
Right.
Since Gemma's the one that created the opportunity for the demon to, like, enter this world.
Yeah. And I wonder, it's like, a lot of them had different accents. I'm like, were they all over the globe?
Yeah.
Were they, like, all over the
I felt like most of them were place? British, and Haley was American. And so I would guess that it was probably in England, because even though Saylin had a Scottish accent, there's lots of Scottish people that live in England.
Yeah.
But that's true. They could, we don't know. We know that Gemma and Haley were physically, lived physically close together. They made a point of showing us that, but, we don't know for the rest of them. And they talk about Teddy being, like, away at his girlfriend's family's house or whatever.
Like, an estate of some kind.
Yeah. So. We don't know where the rest of them were.
Yeah. I have a few, little tidbits that I thought were interesting, but, so, as we all know, it was filmed during COVID-19, all through Zoom during the lockdown, made with iPhones and laptops.
Nice.
That's it.
That's awesome.
So, it's, the cast were given scripts, basically, but they're also told to improvise a lot. And it seemed really good improv. Like, they did a great job.
Yeah.
So Haley's sneeze and other reactions of them, like, were improvised and not planned at all. So but it's also based on a short film by director Rob Savage, where he pranked his friends during a Zoom chat pretending to be attacked by something that was in his attic, and he didn't inform his friends in order to get their genuine reactions to it. So this video was released online, it went viral, and then he approached Shudder about making a feature length version of this
whole concept.
And Shudder's like, sounds great.
Yeah.
And they
love it.
Gave him the money to do it.
We just made this movie Deadware and it sucked.
Right. Yeah. So then also Deadware was garbage. Parts of the script were later redacted. The cast didn't know what would happen throughout the movie and how to react to things. Some things were pre-recorded and played back for their genuine reactions. Some wasn't. And it just seemed... Oh, and the initial prank video by Rob Savage was inspired by the movie Wreck from 2007. In the attic, the creature that was in the attic. So that's about it. I thought that was kind of fun, and I thought that made me laugh. Like, he did a prank, and I need to check out the prank video, because if it went viral, I could probably watch it.
She'd probably find it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Very cool.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Anyone who hasn't watched it, I mean, my explanation doesn't do it justice, I don't think. I think it's just so fun. It's
so scary.
Yeah, and it takes an hour and 5 minutes to watch it.
But, like, buckle up, because it's a it's a fucking ride.
yeah, and I think Charlotte would really like it, honestly.
Yeah, I want to show it to Tommy, too.
So it's nothing... I mean, there's some blood, there's a little bit of implied violence and stuff, but nothing where you're like... Oh, this my God, this is horrifying or inappropriate. I think for anyone who enjoys a good kind of ghost slash demon story, they would be able to watch it without too many nightmares, possibly.
Yeah.
It might be a little too scary, but it just seems so real because, like, we all lived through that. So it felt like it hit pretty close to home because we were using Zoom and communicating and getting together with their friends. That's how you're socializing.
And oh no, it's gone terribly wrong.
Yeah. So this one came out of left field. It was really good. So
I'm glad you stumbled on it.
Me too. I'm glad I was like, eh, fine. But I think because I have the app, the Shutter app on my thing, and I was like, oh, I'm folding laundry, but let me just turn something on. And this was rated, it has skulls instead of stars.
Okay.
And so it had a bunch of skulls. Mm-hmm. I was like,
that's a good sign.
Yeah, people who use this app are probably, you know, pretty
savvy
about horror. So if they, this one has like 4 skulls, 4 out of 5, it's probably good to watch it. So I'm glad I gave it a chance and relied on my fellow horror aficionados. Yeah,
we're all in this together.
Lead me in the right direction.
Yeah.
So for next time, we are talking about
Afraid. Yes.
Which is another tech
horror. And right now it's streaming on Netflix. So if you haven't seen it, check it out.
With John Cho.
John Cho. That's right.
And shoot, the other woman, the mom, she was in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, was she?
I can't recall her name.
I have it in my notes, but she was also in Alien, not Prometheus, Alien Covenant.
Yeah, that's also where I recognize her from. Yeah. Anyway, check that out before we spoil all of it next time.
About to spoil it real good.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.